Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Everybody looks awake, ready to go. That was a good worship time for us, you know, to just stand in awe of God. Isn't God good? He is so good. He's faithful. You know, he's faithful even when we aren't sometimes. Did you ever notice that? And so I thank God for who he is and really how much he loves us and how he sticks by us the way he does. You know, we serve such a good God. You know, I didn't get a chance, or we didn't last week. In our dialogue, we were doing other business. But I like to call it a reflection time. Reflection time of what the word says to you. What the message that went forth, what did it mean to you? What did you get out of it? And for everybody to be able to share what it meant to them. And really that way, it kind of helps me to, it helps me to see whether or not I did and said what I should have said and meant to say what the Holy Spirit was giving me. See, because I count on the Lord's anointing to really bring my words, you know, what few words I have, that he would bring it across in such a way that it would minister to the heart. You know, I don't want to just get up here and try to throw some stuff out, and that way we can call it a Sunday and we can all go home and, you know, and not think about it through the week. That's not what the Lord has brought us here for, to be honest with you. He's brought us here to teach us, to minister to us and with us, and then to prepare us so he can minister through us to a lost and dying world out there. And it also gives us the abilities and the power and the know-how to pray for our loved ones, to pray even for ourselves when we're in time of health needs or other circumstances that go on. So we got a faithful God, and he's always trying to prepare us so that we can meet all of the things that the enemy and the world and others, how they come against us with it. So that's why I like to hear the reflection time of what's going on. You know, I want to make sure you're getting what the Lord's giving me to give you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Because it's important. And, you know, I go all week a lot of times, except this morning the Lord changed my message an hour before we were to leave, which I've been preparing the other one for. Of course, it was about 5 pages. So maybe that's why the Lord changed it. But anyway, he gave me a new word basically for you this morning, because I want to focus on a particular item that I think is very important to all of us. And that is salvation. You know, there's a lot of people don't understand what salvation really is. They really don't. And therefore, they go their whole lives and they're not really saved. They think they are. They feel good about it. But in the end, we're going to stand before the Lord. And he's going to judge us. Not as Christians. If you're a Christian, you're okay. You've got your gown on, right? Your wedding gown. You've got that on. You're pure. You're holy. Been paid for. And so you're righteous. And the Lord's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. But then others, immediately, he's going to cast them out of his presence. And they're going to go to hell for an eternity. And so that's why when we talk about salvation, it's really, really important. So A lot of times I go in, it's like, sometimes I feel, well, I already know that. You know, they start, well, I already know that. So I don't really need to listen that close. But maybe I'll share some things by the Holy Spirit this morning that you've not heard before, that maybe you didn't quite understand. Or maybe the Holy Spirit will take it and revelate some knowledge to you beyond what I speak here that will change your life forever. Amen? Amen. Father, we give this time, this message, Lord, our lives and everything to you. And Lord, we ask that you would just use this time and speak to us, each one of us, to our hearts. Help us to truly understand the love that you have for us, the work that you've done for us, and who you really are in us. Father, that we can change not only our own lives, but Father, that we can be used to help and change other lives as well. Father, you're so good. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your abilities. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Son who died on Calvary's cross just for us so that we can be with you in heaven. Father, thank you so much. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to continue to use Nicodemus here. When we talked about him last week, verses 1 through 3, it says this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, that is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So right here, the Lord is showing him the importance of this one aspect, born again. Doesn't matter that you're a religious leader, you're of the Pharisee sect, you try your hardest to do everything correct, you're a leader and a teacher of the people. He said, that doesn't matter. What did he do? He said, you must be born again. And if you're not, he said, you won't see the kingdom. You can be as good as you want and as hard as you try, but you must be born again. And a lot of people miss that. There's a lot of people that are good people. They think they love the Lord, and they love the Lord the best with their abilities. And they work hard, and they do what all they think is right in their own eyes, but are still lost. You ever talk to anybody like that or been friends with them or have known anyone that is kind of that way? Folks, I've met a lot of them. There's a lot of people that are like that. And because they don't understand. You know, I've talked to a lot of them that I thought, man, these guys are better than me. They're more faithful to God than what I am sometimes. And yet they don't even know Jesus. And on that day when they go before the judgment seat, they're going to be condemned to hell. So what do you do? Do you just kind of let it go and hope one day they wake up? Or do you take the chance maybe of talking to them? And it's probably surely to make them angry. Amen. I remember when the guy asked me if I was going to heaven or hell, he made me angry. I thought I was okay. See, I was one of those people. I thought I was okay. I hadn't killed anybody lately. I hadn't robbed any banks. You know, I've been pretty good. Don't ask my wife, but I thought I was okay. But then the Lord gave me a truth and said, Jim, you're going to hell, buddy. That's why I had this guy talk to you like that, because you're going to hell. And that scared me. And that's where a lot of people are and what's going on in their life. They think they're okay. Do you know that there's a scripture in the Bible and it says this? It says that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will witness with your spirit, your earthly spirit, that you are, in fact, a child of God. God witnesses to you. See, he wants you to know. He doesn't want us to go by chance, our hope, our just thinking. It's too important. It's way too important. I don't want to go into an eternity and spend it in hell. You know, I had went to a parochial school, and so the priest would come in one day a week, and we'd have catechism class. And he talked about eternity. He said, do you know how long eternity is? And of course, us kids, forever. Well, yeah, but have you ever thought about really how long forever is? So he said, have you ever picked up some sand on the beach? He said, do that sometime. Just pick up a small handful of sand. And he says, then try to count every little grain. Try that sometime. Count every little grain in your hand. I don't know how to count that high, to be honest with you, because sand is tiny. And he says, then if you take that little you have in your hand and you count it, he says, then take all of the other grains of sand in all the world and all the beaches around and count them. Then he said, don't stop there. He says, now I want you to multiply each one of those grains of sand in all the world, multiply them by 1,000 years. And he said, that wouldn't even be the beginning of eternity. I'm like, wow, eternity is pretty long. You know what I mean? The thing is, it never stops. And so when you die, of course, at funerals, everybody's loved one's gone to heaven in their heart, in their mind, and that's their desire. And I fully understand that. But I want to tell you that's not the case. And that's sad. To have your loved ones go to hell, or even yourself. So it's something that we've really got to look at. It's something we've got to give a lot of attention to. And so that's what Nicodemus, he was coming because he didn't understand some things. He wanted to know more about Jesus. Then in verses 4 and 5, Nicodemus said to Jesus, and of course he's in the flesh, and that's where a lot of times we hear things and then we kind of understand it and reflect on it through our fleshly desires and understanding that we have, amen? But that doesn't always work. Nicodemus said, he says, well, how can that be? How can a man be born again? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Well, Jesus answered and he said this. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is Jesus really saying there? What is he really saying? He's saying, you have got to be changed and washed by my word. See, that's what the Word of God is all about. That's why we read it, we study it, we meditate upon it. And it gives us then understanding and hearing messages about different things. It's all to give us some more understanding, some more leaning, to point us in the right direction to where we can make a real spiritual choice. So what it does, the word, the washing of the word, is it helps us to know the truth, and then we're to believe it. Amen. So it's not just, I'm not talking just knowledge here. I'm talking about true understanding and believing the word of God. And then a lot of times we stop there, but I think receiving it is very important as well. Amen? Man, when I get saved, I want Jesus. You know what I mean? I don't want to just know about him, which is great, but I want him in my life. I don't want to just believe about him and I can tell people about him, but I want that relationship. You know, my wife and I got married. I would like for her to live at home. You know what I mean? I don't want just a marriage license on the wall. People ask, are you married? Well, yeah, I'm married. Well, where's your wife? Well, but I don't know. But a lot of times we do that with the Bible, with the Word, with the Lord. We talk about it when somebody might bring it up. But then we get busy in our everyday lives and we let it go. You know, let me share this. You know, the Lord prepares us to receive. He really prepares us to receive spiritually his word so that we can truly understand it in our lives. And it's important to have that. Because in verse 5, Jesus did tell him, he said, unless you're born of the water and of the Holy Spirit, he said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's kind of look at a part in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 8. Remember when Philip, who was a deacon of the church, the first church, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and told him to go talk to this Ethiopian guy. He was a eunuch, and he had just been to Jerusalem worshiping God, and he got some scrolls, and here he's reading it, and he's trying to understand it. But like I was, when I was first saved, I read the Bible and I couldn't really understand it. I'm like, it's written in another type of language. You know, I could say the words, but I had no idea what it was really saying. And so God gave me a backslidden Baptist preacher to give me the understanding of it. And in the process of all of that, he said he had to get right with God and start back to church and reading his word again just so he could answer all my questions. So God had a purpose. Well, God has a purpose in everything. But anyway, the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. I think here it says an angel. An angel spoke to Philip and he told him where to go. He said, I want you to go down here. And he says, I want you to go up to this vessel here, this individual. And he says, I'm going to have you do something. So he ran up to him on the road. And so he listened. Well, let's just read it. Verse 26 of Acts chapter 8. It says, now when an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Philippi, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So anyway, he was running and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So here's Philip running on the side of this chariot while they're kind of trotting along. And he's just kind of observing and listening. So then in verse 29, it says, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' So he ran, caught up with him, and he asked this guy as he was reading it. He said, 'Do you understand what you're reading? Do you know what it's saying?' And then he said in verse 31, the Ethiopian, he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And so he asked Philip to come up and sit with him." That was nice of him. "The place in the scripture which he read was this: 'He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humility, his justice was taken away, and he who will declare his gen—'" It's saying there, he was taken away, of course, but then he says, who's going to be the one that is going to declare about him? Who's going to tell him about Jesus, about this man that was quiet, never said a word, and died? Are there going to be people that are going to share about him? "For his life is taken from him from the earth." So anyway, Philip said, well, he started to tell him who Jesus was and what Jesus did and how much he means to all of us. And so the Ethiopian, he's listening to all of this and he's taking it in. And he's like, wow, man, I understand now. See, I have some knowledge of what that is because of the word. He was reading the word there in Isaiah. And he says, well, I understand that. And he says, I believe it. I read it and understand it. I believe it. But now he wants to receive. So then he asked Philip as they came on some water. He said, what stops me from being baptized then? He said, I want to receive this Jesus. So what stops me? Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, well, do you really believe? See, Philip wanted to make everything understood that you really understand what you're doing here and what God says and how the word is working. You really understand this now? And he does. He said, do you really believe it? I do, with all my heart. See, too many times, that's why the Bible says, don't be too quick to lay hands on people. Because a lot of times it gives people false hope. And so anyway, he said he really believed. So they stopped the chariot. And right there in the water, this guy, this high-ranking official in Candace, kingdom, who had charge of everything. He might have had hundreds of soldiers with him, you know, protecting from robberies or different things that might have taken place on the road. And he didn't care. Kind of like Zacchaeus climbing a tree, who was rich and didn't care. Folks, that's the way we need to be when we receive the Lord. It doesn't matter what people think. Doesn't matter. What really matters is I want Jesus. I want to be born again. I don't want to go to hell. I know that's why I went forward. Lord said, what are you going to do? You're out here in the aisle looking silly. What are you going to do? And I could have just sat back down. I could have. And that's sometimes where a lot of people are. They get to the place where I'll do it later. Or I'm okay now that I understand this. I'll be good. And then we don't go all the way. But the Ethiopian, no, I want to be baptized now. And he was. And then right after that, it says that Philip was taken out of his sight. He was gone. Just poof. Translated somewhere. But do you see how far the Holy Spirit, how far God went just for the Ethiopian? He does that with us. Amen. Really, you know? I mean, why would the Lord give me a message like this to preach to the church that most people here are saved? And why would he want me to preach just on salvation? Because a lot of you are sitting there saying, man, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. Why are you preaching this? Well, maybe you need a good refresher. I don't know.
For the people we know.
Are the people that we can share with and those that might be here that don't quite understand, good people who've just not had things explained to them. See, the thing is, God cares so much about you, and it's not his will that anybody should go to hell. Do you know what happens to you after you're saved? I talk to people, and it's like, well, it wasn't a real big deal. I can just remember when I was saved, you know. I felt good about it. Folks, did anything really happen? You know, I really believe, maybe I'm wrong, I really believe that when you're saved, you have a personal experience with the Lord. A very drastic one. Mine was very drastic. And I've not been the same since. You know what I wanted before I was saved? I wanted to own 1,000 acres. I wanted to be self-sufficient, like these guys over here, Jack and Kathy. I want to be self-sufficient, raise my own food. And I wanted to build a house in the middle of the 1,000 acres. I was halfway there. I wanted to build a house in the middle of it. And then I was going to shoot anybody that came on my property. Now, that's how much I love people. Seriously, that's where I was. I've never been so hurt so many times by people. People were not faithful. People didn't understand, didn't care, would go out of their way to take advantage of you. And I was done with it. I even thought about being a mercenary when I was in the military. Spent 8 years in. When I got out, I thought, well, I'm going to maybe join and be a mercenary. They make good money. Man, I was sick. Bad sick. And look what God did. Gee. Can you imagine God would put me as a preacher? And then I would actually love people and care for them, even when they hurt me and did me wrong, that I could still love them and go on with them and be concerned about them and pray for them. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God did a work. Salvation, wow, when people, I hear people who say they're saved and they'll talk about their failures and their sins, and no conviction comes. They're not convicted at all. Well, guy upstairs, he understands. He knows my weaknesses. It's okay. It's not okay. But see, that's where I came from. This is now where I'm at, and I love it. I don't hate people anymore. I love people. And as far as I know, I don't have an enemy. I've had a lot of people do me wrong, but I'm not holding it against them. See, when you don't forgive people their faults to you, it hurts you, not them. Most of them could care less how you feel. They don't like you anyway. Right? But then it churns in you every time you see them or every time you go by their house or whatever. It just kind of eats at you. Oh, God, how could you bless them? You see, it hurts you, and the enemy uses it against you to destroy you. But I'm going to tell you, don't play with this salvation. It's too important. It changes your life. The Lord says when you become born again, he says, I give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, one that can love again, and it's not hard and condemning to people. Then he says, I put a new spirit in you, my spirit. And it changes your life. It gives you then the power to keep my commandments and even to desire to do them. Folks, it's all God. I know me loving people, me wanting to preach and so desirous to serve God and to share his word. I know that's not just me, but it's what God did in me. And that's what makes the difference. And people think they can just make light of it. Look at the price that Jesus paid. Man, he was naked, hanging on a cross. People talked against him and hated him. Religious people would just shake their head. Even God turned his back on his son. And he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because all of our nasty sins were on Jesus. Because that's why he hung on the cross and why he died. Just for you, just so you could get saved and have your life changed. And that you could go to heaven and not to hell. Folks, we need to wake up. Salvation is a big deal. And if you're saved, your life is changed. And if you haven't had that experience and that relationship, folks, then we may not have anything. I hope you understand what I believe the Lord is trying to share with us. Folks, this is really important. You got a loved one or a friend that's not saved, man, maybe we need to walk and we need to talk with them. That's why my grandkids and sometimes my kids will avoid me because they know they need a talking to. Because I care. I don't talk to them to condemn them. I talk to them because I care. I love them. And I don't want them to go the wrong way. And I want people's lives changed like God changed my life. Well, that's why a lot of people don't even like me because I only like to talk about God anymore. I mean, what else is there, really? Tell me, what else is there? When you die, you're not going to take any of this with you, right? You're going empty-handed, and it's all going to be left. And then pretty soon, those that had gotten what you left have forgotten about you. Right? It's okay, but God never forgets about us. God never forgets. God cares. And he'll send people like me after you. Even if I have to do it in a church service. But see, I love God enough, and I know he loves you enough that I'm going to share what I know God wants me to say. I hope you understand. Father, I ask that you would bless your people. Show them, Lord, the importance of what you've done, Jesus, for us. And what that means to our lives. Father, that we can go when we leave this earth to be with you. And spend an eternity with you. In fact, Lord, we're going to come back during the millennium. at the beginning of the millennium. For 1,000 years, we're going to reign with you. What a wonderful time that'll be. Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. And after that, he'll be loosed for a little while. But Father, thank you that it'll never change with us, because we've allowed you to come in our life. We've accepted your salvation. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks,